Our lesson tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 to 22, God's training of Hezekiah to trust him humbly for the future. God knows the end from the beginning, and because he can see so well into the future, he can graciously work to prepare us for temptations or trials that lie ahead of us in life's pathway so that we might face them well. This was the case of Hezekiah's trial in Isaiah 38, 1 to 22, and we view this passage for insight. I want to read the chapter, and then we'll look at it. Isaiah chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now this tells us that this event actually occurred before the events of chapter 37. But we'll look at that in a little bit. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 steps backward. This is actually a stairwell. So the sun returned 10 steps, by which the steps had gone down. The writing of King Hezekiah of Judah when he had been sick and was recovered from his sickness. And this is that psalm that he wrote. Quote, verse 10, I said in the cutting off of my days, I should go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living, and I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night thou wilt make an end of me. I reckoned until morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night thou wilt make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so I did chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He has spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thine back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it as a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Okay. God's Isaiah 38:6 promise to Hezekiah that he would save Jerusalem from Assyria means that the events of Isaiah 38 occurred before Assyria's invasion. But since the Isaiah 38 events relate to what happened in Isaiah 39, where Hezekiah proudly showed his wealth, Isaiah 38 and 39 are placed together. It's interesting, this event that occurred in his life was designed by God as a shot across the bow of his boat, warning Hezekiah about the future. He was going to be facing a big temptation, and God did not want him to fail in the temptation. So he shot across the cannon, right across the bow of his boat, terrified him with the fact that he was going to die. Then when he cried out unto the Lord, then the Lord healed him. But he didn't want him to forget the lesson that he learned so that it would save him from sinning in the future. And that's what this chapter is all about. It's all preparatory. And sometimes God will allow us to face trials only to prepare us for something in the future that's a lot bigger, so that we're prepared to know how to handle the future. Accordingly, Isaiah 38, 1-22 acts as a warning to Hezekiah against becoming proud in the future. The prophet Isaiah was sent by the Lord to Judah's king Hezekiah to announce that his current illness that possibly involved blood poisoning caused by an infected boil would result in death, that Hezekiah was thus to set his house in order and to prepare to die. When I was in Nigeria, West Africa, I was about 11 years of age, I think it was at the time, and I developed a sore in the bottom of one of my feet and developed blood poisoning through it, and the line had started to come up when it's actually up almost to my hips, and the nurse at Kent Academy where I was at was scared, so she kept giving me penicillin shots, sent me to Joss Hospital, and there they continued the treatment and they were able to reverse it. But if the blood poisoning goes up, if it gets to your heart, you die. So it was a threat, and I had to stick my foot in very hot water. They were trying to draw the poison out that way. So I kind of experienced this once, and it's not a fun thing. It's kind of scary. Hezekiah then turned his face to the wall and prayed, reminding God how he had walked before him in faithfulness and wholeheartedness, doing what was good in God's eyes, and he wept greatly. Well, the Lord then sent his prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah to tell him that the Lord of his ancestor David had heard his prayer and seen his tears, that he would add 15 years to Hezekiah's life. God added that he would also deliver Jerusalem and Hezekiah out of the land of the hand of the Assyrians, defending Jerusalem. And that's, of course, all the more reason for Hezekiah to have trusted the Lord when Assyria invaded. Not only did he have the words of Isaiah that Isaiah had predicted, but actually the Lord had actually given this message directly to Hezekiah. So there was no reason for him to tear his clothes and to be all afraid when Rabshakeh did his thing outside of the city walls. But anyway, in addition, the Lord graciously gave Hezekiah a sign to encourage him that he would fulfill this promise. That sign being God's causing the shadow on a westward-facing flight of stairs to move downward 10 steps rather than rising as it would with the setting sun. See, as the sun would set, the shadow would rise. But God told him the shadow is going to fall, which means the sun's going to back up. So God actually backed the sun up. And it backed up 10 stairways, or 10 steps. Now, it was a shadow against something. I don't know what the 10 steps were measured, but apparently he could see this. So this is one of the few times when God actually affected the sun. The other time was in the long day. Remember Joshua, when God held up the sun and the moon for a whole day in the battle? But this is Hezekiah's time when God actually backed the sun up 10 steps on the stairwell, which was a tremendous sign for him. I can't imagine the amount of power that would be needed for that to occur, because for that to occur, you stop the rotation of the earth and you back it up. And of course, the earth is rotating, 1,000 miles a minute or something like that, going around 1,000 miles an hour. So you have to stop the earth and then back it up, maybe. Yeah, okay, zero, and then back it up 1,000 miles an hour, and then start over, and then turn it around and go back, with everybody, you know, knocking into walls and mountains falling into each other. The amount of power that was involved in this is unbelievable. But, of course, with God, all things are possible. So that's what happened. So the Lord gave him this sign. Now, we know from Isaiah 38, 21 and 22 that God had also directed that a cake of figs be applied to Hezekiah's boil that he might recover, and that Hezekiah had asked for a sign to confirm the prophecy of his healing, a sign that he would indeed go up to the house of the Lord, and he would go up to the house of the Lord on a staircase. So the movement of the sun's shadow going downward on the western stairway apparently was that sign. Now, this is also interesting. Figs were often used in the ancient Near East as a poultice towards healing. Now, God healed the man, but the Lord used miracle plus a common medicinal practice. So this demonstrates that God sometimes will actually use medical procedures in order to get people healed. So we shouldn't be opposed to it at all. It's very interesting. Paul told Timothy, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thine often infirmities. Timothy was avoiding using wine even in drinking water. In Turkey to this day,
The Turks use a couple of drops of blackberry wine per gallon of water in order to kill the amoebic dysentery germs that are there. And so you take the water and you treat it with a slight with alcohol in order to kill the germs. Timothy apparently was trying to be such a good example, he wasn't even using the wine that was necessary to kill the germs in the water, and he was having terrible stomach problems. And Paul says, come on, Timothy, use a little bit of wine for the sake of your, because of your infirmities. You know, don't pull back on that. Go ahead and use it with a practice. You wouldn't get drunk by putting a couple of drops of blackberry wine in a gallon of water, that's for sure. But it's interesting. God is not opposed to our using medicinal procedures in healing people at all. He wouldn't be opposed at all for people having surgical procedures if surgery is needed and so forth. So we have to keep that in mind. So, as a result of this healing, Hezekiah authored the following psalm that tells that he learned in his trial his need to consecrate the rest of his days humbly to exalt the Lord. As follows. First, Hezekiah described his dismay at his life-threatening condition in which he realized that he was helplessly unable to prolong his life due to God's sovereign decision to see that it end. He did that in verses 9 to 15. In facing an early death, Hezekiah reported that he had lamented the fact that though he was in the prime of his life, he would not be able to relate to the Lord and others as God would cut off his earthly life. Hezekiah stated that he would wait through the night, expecting the Lord to slay him at daybreak, breaking all his bones in death as a lion would its prey, since he was so upset about dying. Hezekiah noted that he was weary from grieving over his death, realizing that he was utterly vulnerable to God's will as to how long he even lived. It's interesting, God got this man at the very bottom of the mud puddle, so to speak. He was very, very depressed. And at that point, the Lord came through. Describing God's answer to his prayer and tears, Hezekiah in Isaiah 38, 15 to 20 asserted how God was his strength and source of blessing, that he would exalt God for the rest of his life. Now, that's what God wanted him to do. He didn't do it, but anyway. Due to Hezekiah's bitterness of soul and his illness, he noted that God speaking to him about seeing his life prolonged would cause him to live in peace, but never to forget the bitterness of his close brush with death. That's what he means in verse 15 about the bitterness. It would always be with him. Sometimes the Lord allows very painful trials to come, and we never forget the pain of them. That's intentional. He doesn't want us to forget the pain because the pain acts as a disciplinary warning. Be careful, because when you go into the future, if you face the temptation that's related to this and you sin, guess what? It's going to be a lot more pain than this. So whatever you do, pay attention to the pain so that you don't do this. Very interesting. Now, Hezekiah thus acknowledged that with God was life, that he would restore him to health. Hezekiah told how God had graciously delivered him regardless of all his sins, that he might praise the Lord and testify of his greatness to the next generation for the rest of his days. It's interesting, verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. I'm going to spend the next 15 years of my life praising the Lord. I'm going to spend my life exalting the Lord. Would to God that he had. Would to God that he had, but he didn't. So the lesson is, God arranged for Hezekiah to face the threat of imminent death that he might realize his need for the Lord just to remain alive in this life, that he might humbly rely on God in his future when he was tempted to ruin his pride. So if God lets us face a troublesome trial for a period of time before pulling us out of it, he wants us to learn from the experience to rely humbly on him as protection against strong, destructive future temptations. In 1990, when I had my car accident, I ended up with 6 broken ribs. One lung was completely collapsed. The other one was partially collapsed and had a spleen that was oozing blood. And they had to do emergency surgery on a Sunday in order to keep me alive. The doctor said, if I don't do the surgery, you'll be dead in a couple of days. If I do the surgery, you'll be fine. So I would recommend that you sign on the dotted line here. I better do surgery. So I went ahead and signed Dr. Dutton. He was a MASH doctor in Vietnam. Yeah, it was a good bang. And so he. So I went ahead with it. I thought, yeah, I'd kind of like to live longer than shorter, you know. So I went ahead with it. And but what's interesting is just before the accident had occurred, I was discouraged over something that had happened in the church, and I was frustrated. And 5 minutes before, I was delivering my son's papers. Greg had a paper route over at Laurel Acres. It was a housing complex there. And I had that route there, and then I was getting ready to go over and do his route. And I told the Lord, and as I put the paper in the last house, I just shoved it in. I was ticked off. I said, Lord, all I'm doing is spinning my wheels at this church. 5 minutes later, I had the accident. Bam! I was flat on my back, and in the hospital, I was visited by a couple of pastors. And one of the pastors was George Smith up the road here. He knew us. Another pastor was a pastor I'd never met before, and he shared with me how profoundly the people of his church had been ministered unto by the people of our church. He had a struggling church, I think in the Thomaston area, where it was. But a number of our people knew his people, and our people had helped them, and he was profoundly grateful for that. And I was stunned that God was using our ministry to minister to this man and his people. I didn't even know. And so after the situation, I felt very ashamed that I, you know, had complained like I had to the Lord because I didn't realize all the facts. And through that, I learned from the experience. The Lord indicated, Don, don't you ever evaluate or reevaluate what I'm doing at EPOG or in your life or anything else, because you don't know all the facts. All you can do is follow me. So I came up out of the bed realizing that that's the last time I'm going to complain about a problem in the ministry, because often it's easy to be myopic. We look at the trouble that we're facing, we think the whole world's, you know, in difficulty, and we're too myopic. And we have to be very careful to follow the Lord. But the Lord trained me through that experience to be very, very careful, very, very cautious about making judgments, quick judgments about things around me, people around me, events. We have to be really careful. And to be very careful because the Lord is working in his people. He's working in our ministries in ways that we're not even aware of. I think we're going to be stunned when we get to heaven. The Lord points out what he's been doing through us and for us. So it's very important. If God allows us to have a serious trial, that was a serious trial in my life at that time, it's a wake-up call to pay attention and never to forget the pain of the event, so that when we get into temptations that are further down the road, that we don't come unglued, but we keep our head about us and we make the decisions that we should.